Hello, DVD Marquee listeners. I'm Shane MacDonald, and I'm bringing you my first mini marquee. And rather than bringing you a DVD review, I thought it'd be fun to bring you our first movie review on the DVD Marquee. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Growing up, I was a comic book collector, and one of my favorite series to collect was X-Men, and I still have a good number of those comics still stored away for the future. When director Bryan Singer put together the first movie back in 2000, I was treated to a delightful, fairly accurate portrayal of my favorite mutants. With some minor gripes here and there, overall the experience was incredible. Then Bryan Singer followed up with a sequel known as X2, which, in my opinion, surpassed the original and paved the way for the future for what could potentially break free of the typical mold of threequels and be absolutely outstanding. Then a blow came to fans of the X-Men movies. Fox was not bringing back Bryan Singer to direct after he defected to WB to bring Superman Returns to the big screen, leaving fans questioning if we were going to see a third helping of the X-Men after all. Fox then announced that they had chosen Rush Hour 1 and Rush Hour 2 director Brett Ratner to take over the directing duties. He'd already begun working on the script, and personally, along with I'm sure many others, I cringed at the news. Could Ratner build upon the foundations laid out by Singer? Can he incorporate some of the mutants we've been missing, wanting so badly? Will we see Beast, Gambit, Juggernaut? After all, we did get a healthy dose of Nightcrawler in X2, portrayed brilliantly by Alan Cummings. Then the announcements came. Juggernaut, Beast, Angel, and some other lesser-known mutants would be in the third movie. But the announcements didn't stop. There was mutant after mutant after mutant. It appeared as though Ratner was overloading the film. Only time would truly tell. Well, that time has come. And it was this past weekend when X-Men The Last Stand thundered into theaters with a record-setting weekend. Can anyone say $122 million over a four-day weekend? For those of you who might have been living under a rock and don't know what the story is about, here's a brief synopsis. A pharmaceutical company has developed a cure that will suppress the mutant X gene, which gives the mutants their unique abilities, triggering Magneto to assemble the Brotherhood to wage war against the humans. The only ones that can stand in his way are Professor X and his gifted team of X-Men.
Since the dawn of existence, there have always been moments when the course of history shifted. Such a turning point is upon us now.
They wish to cure us, but I say we are the cure.
A conflict between the better and worse angels of our very nature, whose outcome will change our world so greatly, there will be no going back. I do not know if victory is possible. I only know that great sacrifice will be required. And because the fate of many will depend on a few, we must make a last stand.
So how did Brett Ratner's take on the X-Men go? Well, it did much better than I expected. While he didn't really add much more to the characters or the overall storyline, he delivered a solid action flick, and I'm sure that's what most of us wanted. Although he did waste many opportunities to work on the intricacies of each character, such as Famke Janssen's character, Jean Grey, whom apparently had died at the end of the second film. The greatest casting in this film, actually in all the X-Men films, is Wolverine. Hugh Jackman portrays Weapon X, whose Canadian origins are partly explored throughout the three films. He also remains the central figure in the movies, and for a good reason. He's Marvel's most popular superhero. My only complaint for all the movies is I don't think Wolverine was quite feral enough, like he was in the comics. Although his animal side does pop out a few times, his senses don't seem as refined as they were in the animated series or the comic book. I could blab and blab non-stop about Wolverine. So let me just say that he's my favorite superhero next to Batman, and has been since I was a child. We see many of the familiar cast members from the previous two films with one major omission. Where the heck was Nightcrawler? One of the best X-Men characters in the movie doesn't even make a second appearance. However, I'd heard or read, I can't remember which, Alan Cummings didn't want to resume the role, so I'd rather not see Nightcrawler in the movie rather than see him recast. The smoking hot women, as I like to refer to them as, return with Halle Berry as Storm, Famke Janssen as Jean Grey, Anna Paquin as Rogue, and Ellen Page as Kitty Pryde, aka Shadowcat. Also, there are some lookers on the villain side of the coin as well, with Rebecca Romijn as Mystique and Danielle Ramirez as Callisto, a newcomer to the films. Other newcomers include the highly underused Angel, played by Ben Foster, Dr. McCoy, or Beast, who is played wonderfully yet somewhat awkwardly by Kelsey Grammer, and the stepbrother of Professor X, at least in the comic book world anyway, Juggernaut, played by Vinnie Jones, who was also underused. Big hits in this film for me were Dark Phoenix, more of Colossus, Wolverine unleashed some more, much more than X2, Magneto got to show off a lot more, the epic battle at the end, the addition of Beast and Angel, Iceman played by Sean Ashmore versus Pyro played by Aaron Stanford, and Kitty Pryde as an X-Men rather than just a behind-the-scenes character. Mrs. No Nightcrawler. Beast looked a little awkward to me. No Juggernaut versus Colossus. I don't know why somebody wouldn't think of putting these two heavyweights against each other. That would have been a brilliant battle. Angel could have had a much bigger part. The movie was way too short. Juggernaut, in the comic book world, is not a mutant. And if you've seen the movie, you'll understand why I mentioned this little tidbit. Overall, I guess it's pretty even for what I like and dislike. However, the misses are only minor quips in the grand scheme of things. Ratner has done an admirable job of continuing what Singer had laid the foundation for in the previous two films. Now, before I wrap up, I did find out there are a couple of scenes that were cut from earlier screenings that did show Juggernaut versus Colossus, about a 15-second fight, and a couple of scenes where Kitty Pryde is kissing Iceman, but I hope we do see these scenes put onto DVD, and I'm sure it's going to be a stacked DVD release from Fox Home Entertainment. I fully recommend seeing it if you haven't, and do stay until after the credits. You won't want to miss the one final clip that they threw in there. Well, I hope you enjoyed my first mini-marquee, and I hope you enjoyed my review of X-Men The Last Stand. This is Shane McDonald saying, catch you on the flip side. X-Men The Last Stand is rated PG-13 and is distributed by 20th Century Fox.